Father, we thank you so very much, as always, for the work of the cross, for the gift of grace that was given to us through the work that your Son did on our behalf, us not deserving it, Father, but, you know, you thought of born. Father, we thank you for this. We don't need to understand the work of the cross, and we thank you. Father, we ask you as you go forth in our things, our meeting this morning, open our eyes and open our hearts to have us know through your word. And I would ask that you open what you would have them know. Okay. Ephesians 5:7. It says in here, it says here, be not therefore partakers with them. Who are the name they're talking about? The deceivers? Okay. That no man deceive you with vain words of lust, because things that cometh, because of these things cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. So, who are we talking about here? It says, don't be partakers with them. Who did we just talk about? The children of disobedience. Who are the children of disobedience? Huh? Some of them. Who are the children of disobedience? Who is disobedient to God? The people that don't believe. So in other words, it says, be not therefore partakers with them, those people that haven't conformed to the will of God, the people that have are not grace believers, the people that have not believed in the finished work of the cross. Be not partakers with them. Okay? And in ESV it says, therefore do not become partners with them. In other words, in that I understand it, if we're not to become partners with them, what does it mean? Don't join up with them in marriage. Don't join up with them in jobs. Does that mean that we should not have anything to do with them? They need to know what we know. We have a job to do. So that doesn't mean separate yourself from them totally, does it? It means don't become partners with them. Don't become joined to them. Okay? It's and why? It says, for ye were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. So, you used to have your conversation with them, right, in King James term. In other words, you used to be part of that group over there, right? But once you believed in the finished work of the cross, now you are removed from that group and you're put into the family of God. Now you walk not in the darkness anymore, because what happens in the darkness? Bad things. Nothing good happens in the darkness. But when the light shines on there, it takes in it, it exposes all the bad things, right? So don't walk in the darkness, which we did in our past walk, right? But now we are children of the light. Walk in the light. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. When we think of goodness, righteousness, and truth, what do we think about? Somebody thinks of church, Christ, brisket. No, I just had to throw that in there. I did do a brisket yesterday, by the way. It's Pittsburgh Hot Links. Fried catfish. Oh yeah. No eggs or no milk. It's just and, oh, it's good. enough of that. But the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness. This fruit of the Spirit is in goodness and right, though what is right and true, right? The fruit of the Spirit is not in the darkness, is it? The stuff that's not right and true. So if it's not right and true, what good does it do you? Does it do us any good to wallow in the mud along with everybody else? It says no. And it says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We need to discern what is pleasing to God. Okay? So we need to walk in this right spirit, proving or discerning what is pleasing to God. And that's hard to do sometimes, is it? There's a lot of slick-tongued devils out there that makes you think things are good. And then, you know, how many times have we bought something on television? Watch an infomercial, like, I got to have that. And you get it in. Punk. And it's surprised it doesn't work the way they say it works. But we had to prove to ourselves. And how do we prove to ourselves? We had to get it. We had to discern that it was a piece of junk, and now you're stuck with it. So you have to discern what is pleasing to the Lord, to God. It says, take a lie and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So have no fellowship. In other words, don't get involved. And when it says unfruitful works, it's things that you have discerned that is not working toward what God would have you work for. Because we're here as what? We're ambassadors of Christ, right? We're here to perform a job. And I have your news for you. The main job is all the same. We're here to proclaim who Christ is and what he does. Now, how we perform that is in different ways. Some person may do it by their cooking. Other people may do it by their teaching. Who knows? So you're to take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead you're supposed to expose them. We're supposed to tell people exactly how we're supposed to let people know what these fruits of darkness is. And that's the reason why, you know, you see this coexist sign on that phone, right? No Rodney King adage. Can't we all just... That would be nice, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be nice for everybody to get along and there be no strife or fighting? That would be lovely. Wouldn't be true. We know that it's not happening this day. There will come a time when people will do that, but we know it's not happening. We've got a fallen world, right? People do what's right in their own eyes. That pipe dream is not happening. So we're supposed to take and we're supposed to expose people. Guess what happens when you start exposing people? We had a Freddy Cole up here one time. He started exposing individuals, the mainstream of popular Christianity, as to errors in their teaching. Not individuals. He wasn't talking about them. I was on the board at that time, one of the boards. There was trouble back. They did not like teaching, broadcasting, somebody that they were teaching something to what? You know what? If I'm up here and I say something squirrely, that maybe something pops out of my mouth and it's like, it's up to you to tell me about it. And I should be willing to sit down with you and say, okay, explain it to me. But you know what? If we have a disagreement about anything, one of us could be right, right? One of us could be wrong. Both of us wrong, right? But if we're disagreeing about something, both of us be right? If we have a disagreement about something, somebody's got to be wrong. Maybe both people. Maybe you just don't understand the code of the person's point of view. Maybe they're saying the same thing. Maybe they're just saying, oh, who knows? But you're supposed to be able to sit down and have a discussion with somebody as family members getting along and say, you know what, I think you might have been a little off with this. Talk about this, and maybe I'm off. You're off. Maybe we're both off, and maybe we'll gain something by it. But our job is out there to expose the wrongdoing and wrong teaching that's going on. It goes on to say, for it is shameful to speak, or for shameful, it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in the secret. So, what he's saying is that it says, let's go back to where it says, it's have no fellowship with those with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Why? For it is shame to even speak of those things that were done in the secret. And when it's done in darkness, what are people trying to do? They're trying to hide it. Trying to hide it. Okay? Very seldom does somebody, well, used to, but very seldom does somebody break into some place in broad daylight and take and steal stuff. Usually you sneak in the middle of the night under darkness. Think now people are brazen in certain areas and they just bust in and take everything they can. Dropped into a terrible, not civilization is falling apart. But it's a shame even to speak. Because these things were done in secret. It goes on to say, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever done doth make manifest is life. So it says, and let's bring this back into English or modern English. It says, but when everything is when anything is exposed by light, it becomes so. When the light is shined on these wrongdoing things, it becomes visible for exactly what it is. And when it talks about things that you're doing in your life, in other words, it says, shine the light of Christ on these actions and discern whether you should even be. Because there's things that we shouldn't be doing. Tarnishes our image. And if our image is tarnished, how can we be that? If we need to take, you know, a lot of times in cars, like, let's go to headlights on that car. So, taking, you put a headlight in a car, and you're trying to shine a beam of light down the road. You think there's just a little light bulb off in there shining? It'd be an awful big light. Talking about shining a beam light, we're talking about reflecting. So you design a headlight, and you take and you design a specific bulb for that headlight. Put that bulb in that headlight, and it's designed to shine back on these mirrors. It refracts the light in a certain beams that shines it out to be where you want it to be, right? Okay, I found out years ago that when you stick an LED headlight bulb inside a car, LED headlight bulb doesn't work like an incandescent bulb. LED is like on a blade, and it's got these like little LED lights. It's very bright. It's very bright. But an incandescent bulb is like a globe, okay? So when it shines its light, it shines it throughout the headlight. And you take and stick an LED bulb off of there, it only shines off one side. Got this blade in the middle. Well, guess what? Now this bulb doesn't to actually impede the amount of light you provide. Even though this bulb's shining brighter, it doesn't work within the system, so you have less light. We go into this got in the headlights and I forgot what. Does it get worse as I get older, folks? Now you know how the LED light. Don't put LED lights in your other headlight bulbs, okay? Because they don't work very well. Auto repair 101. It says, but with anything exposed to light, it becomes visible. Okay, so darkness when it's exposed, it becomes visible. You're able to discern more. You want to see. Just like with the headlight, whenever you put the right bulb and everything's working right, you get more visible light at nighttime. That's the wrong, so say the wrong teacher that was coming in with the headlight bulb, you kind of see that wrong teacher not getting full vision. It says, and go on, let's go on. It says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give ye light. Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give life. I like the King James. I mean, here's the ESV, what it says. For anything that becomes visible in light, therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine upon you. Sleeper, what it's talking about here. In this drowsy day's darkness. They're sleeping out here. It says, once you wake up, once you believe, get this. It says, awake. Come on. And I like what it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. They don't consider themselves dead, right? Because they're physically still walking around. They don't understand what it means to be dead. Our job to teach them that, not. But it's kind of like when Christ come. You know, Christ was, the Pharisees and Sadducees said, why do you go to the prostitutes and why do you go to the tax collectors? Why do you go there and not come to us? Am I dead? I'm on the side, so it can't be where I'm backing up again. Oh. So when Christ when he took and he come to the tax collectors and everything, and he didn't go to the Pharisees, what did they say? He said, why are you going to them and not us? He's like, you don't need to hear the message. You already have God. You already know about him, or at least you should. But these people don't know. They need me. They need the light shine upon them. And we have a whole world that needs the light shine, don't it, do we not? I was hearing a story that said, that was on the news this morning, and it said that pastors they had a bunch of them that was surveyed, and it says that they have issues with depression and everything. Why should a pastor be depressed? They got Christ. A lot of pressure on, isn't it? So it says, therefore he says, awake and thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you life. You're going to rise up from the dead, and he's going to give you the life. The light to be able to shine into the darkness to discern what is good and what is bad. It says, see ye, now because this, because Christ has done that, because Christ called you, because you awoke, because He rose from the dead, and you believe that, and he has given you this light. See ye then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the time is evil. In other words, it says, see there, walk circumspectly. What does it mean to walk circumspectly? The ESV says, look carefully at how you walk. Pay particular attention to how you walk. Look at your walk and see how you're doing. Understand, do y'all judge me? Who judges me? Christ. I don't judge any of y'all. If somebody says he's my brother and he's a believer, I have to believe that, right? Can I look into his heart and see if he's a true believer or not? I can look at his works and see what he's doing and say, you might want to change a little bit of what you do, but I'm not there to judge whether he's a believer or not. I can't do that. So we're supposed to walk circumspectly. We're supposed to walk discerning our own walk, are we not? It says, look carefully at how you walk. Walk circumspectly. And it says, not as unwise, but as wise. When you think of unwise, you talk about stupid. Don't walk dumbly. Walk as somebody that's smart, that knows where he's going. You know, if I get something in my work that I have to repair in a car, understand, I don't know everything about a car. I don't. It's impossible, and they change it every year, so they're constantly adding new things. And, you know, the stuff I learned back when I was a kid growing up, the points and condenser and carburetors, they don't even use anymore. I still know all that, but now I have to learn new stuff. So, when I get something in that's broken, and I've never looked at it before, the first thing I got to do is go see how that system works. Because if I don't know how that system works, how can I repair it? So I have to go to the manual and see how it works. Because first off, a lot of times people bring something in that it's actually working fine, they just don't know how to work it. No, seriously, if you have bought a new car any time recently, and y'all's are not that new, but there's some stuff on it that you would never think about. The new ones have become technological marvels and a technological nightmare for us. But that's a whole nother thing. I'm not going to go there. But I have to go in and I have to read a manual on how the system works, read a manual if it has certain things, and I go through and I figure out this, and maybe I have to go to an electronic wiring diagram to see where stuff is coming in and see if I'm getting right power going to here or whatever to see how something works. We have a manual, right? So it says, walk not as wise but as unwise. And how do we get wise? We read the manual, right? What is our manual? So we have to read the Bible, but we have to discern what it's saying. Understand, when we read in the Old Testament, it says that we shouldn't eat bacon. Bacon's good. But if we read the manual wrongly, we could put ourselves back under the law, right? We must read the manual rightly and how it applies. If I take and I'm looking at one of my manuals on my car and I don't read it right, I may be searching for a power or ground in some place that I'm not supposed to have it. Or maybe a certain, in order for it to get certain signal here, I need this over here to happen. So you have to understand it. You have to really read the manual. And how do you read? That's the reason why we're called to study. We're not called to read, are we? We're supposed to called to study this Bible. And there's a difference between studying and reading, isn't there, Ray? Were you a reader of the law, or were you a studier of the law when you were a lawyer? If you didn't, You could tell the difference between a lawyer that just read the law and a lawyer that just studied the law, couldn't you? And it's the same for us and everything we do. I can tell the difference between a guy that just reads the manual, peruses it, then tries to jump off into it, for somebody that actually studies and gets a grasp of what he's trying to do so that he can. And we're the same thing here. We need to study this manual, the manual of life, which is called the Bible. It says, so let's not be unwise. Let's be wise. Let's be people that have studied and understand what we're up to. Understand what our job here and understand how God wants us to do it. It's called being within the will of God, and that's what we're always striving to do. It says, making the best of the time because the days are evil. How are the days evil? We've got to make the best time because the days are evil. How are the days evil? Huh? Anybody? Are days evil? What makes these days evil? You're walking in a fallen world, right? God is here all the time. God, understand, God is everywhere right now. He is in the earth. He is, there'll be a time when he separates himself, when people get, and he won't, whenever he sends people to hell, he's not going to be there for them anymore. Even the people that are walking wrongly, God's not far away from them. I think God is truly calling them to come to him. God wishes all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of him, right? His creation cries out to who he is. So, these times are evil. Why? Because we walk in an evil, fallen world right now. We shouldn't be too happy about everything. I'm not saying to walk through the world as sad and always, you know. We have to walk in this world. We have to live this world. So we need to live it in a way which draws people to us. But understand that this is an evil world. And how many days do you not get involved, see something that's evil? Turn on the television. Pick up your cell phone. Look at a magazine. Do they even have magazines? Yes, ma'am. Days are evil. It says, therefore, do not be foolish. Or let me go back to King James. It says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding the will of the Lord, understanding what the will of the Lord is. So in other words, don't be foolish, but understand what God wants you to do. You're walking in evil times here, and we can see it. Like I said, civilization is crumbling around us. You can walk into a store and take stuff and not be arrested. Hopefully not here. Hopefully not in Texas. I hope they arrest all them people that are stealing. They get what's coming to them. But there are places, there's certain states where you can steal up to $900+ worth of merchandise. With $750. You can walk into any store, steal $750 worth of stuff, go home, put it on eBay and sell it and make your money. And do it again tomorrow. And we wonder why people are running from these particular areas. There's something inherently wrong with it. Is that not evil? Should we not call that wrong when it's wrong? But we have people up there saying, well, they're impoverished. They're impoverished. They don't know any better. Crazy what we allow. Evil times, people. But we don't think of it as evil as we walk through today, do we? It's not the first thing that pops in my mind. But what pops in my mind is wrong. God calls us evil. These are evil times we're walking through. It says, don't be foolish or don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And do not get and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So it says, and don't get drunk with wine, for it is debauchery. Does it say, and there's a lot of people in here that says don't drink alcohol. Understand that alcohol over the years has been used because a lot of times water would go bad and then people would use alcohol. So a lot of people say it's a sin to drink. I don't particularly agree with that, but I'm saying there's expressive word here about don't drink to excess. Have you seen somebody that ever drank to excess? They're fools, aren't they? Fools. What comes out of their mouth is food. Because it takes all your inhibitions. It takes them. Don't know what you're going to come out with. I've lived that life before. But don't be drunk to excess. Do not drink with wine, for it is debauchery. Or to get drunk with wine, for it is debauchery. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, you don't have to run to earthly things to well out, to kill all the pain and all the evil things that are happening. You have the Holy Spirit. That should be what fills you. But these people, they run, these people on earth, they're like, they're so, what's going on? They're so depressed. The first thing they do is run to a bottle or run to drugs. To blot out, to get this feeling of euphoria for a short period of time. That they could forget their troubles of the world, right? Guess what? Whenever that stuff runs out, world's still there, right? So now you got to do more, do whatever. Ever in the cycle, the evilness of the world. We don't have to deal with that, right? We shouldn't be going to that. We should be filling with the Holy Spirit, because guess what? There is no end to our world. Whenever you accepted Christ, you obtained an eternal body. Christ has given us eternal. This little 100-year stretch that we walk through, if you live 100 years, okay, and I'm just throwing 100 years out there because it's a good round number, but, you know, if you live 100 years, that's a long time on this earth, right? And the people that haven't accepted Christ, they go and they die, and in the end, they'll be resurrected. Everybody, there's a resurrection, and then the judgment, right? When the judgment happens, they're separated from Christ forever. They're separated from God forever. They're going to hell. To be eternal separation from God. But we have eternal life with God. That's what we should be looking toward. We should be being filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and with spiritual song and singing a melody to the Lord in your heart. Address another one in psalms and hymns. Uplifting things, right? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's uplifting. It uplifts our spirit in a very dreary world. How many times has there been a song that somebody sung up here that's really touched your heart? You can walk out here saying, and you walk through the day and you something bad happens. You remember that, you start singing that song that touched your heart. And it reminds you of who you are and what you, the reason you're here, and the reason that you will continue to live afterwards, the acceptance of Christ. Making a melody of Lord to the Lord in your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for everything. Boy, that's a hard thing to do. Sometimes it's hard giving thanks for everything, isn't it? Jean fell and hit her head. Did you give thanks to the Lord for that? You know, so giving thanks always and everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Did we submit? What does it mean to submit to one another? Submitting yourself to one another. Maybe we should be a little more open to each other. No. Kind of like so high and lofty, you can think of that way. What does it mean to submit? So, you have a haughty attitude about yourself. You submit to somebody that's lower. It'd be a hard thing to do, right? I know more than you, Ray, so I'm not going to submit. But it says, no, I don't know more. Don't go there. It says submitting to one another. In other words, I should submit to Ray, and Ray should in turn submit to me. Thinking less, don't think more of yourself than what you are, right? We're all in the same boat here, right? Yes, ma'am. I'll tell you what it says in my footnotes, and I'll read this to you. It says, maintaining due subordination in the various relations of life. I don't know. But when it says submit to one another, that means that I'm to submit to you, and you're also to submit to me. So it goes on to say, and here's, I love this part of it. I'm getting to the wives part. The wives part of it, yeah. Wives, submit to your husbands, to your own husbands, not other people's husbands. Submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. This is not contrary opinion. This happens all throughout the Bible, right? Okay, it says, and let's hit a few of those. It says, 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. It goes on to say in 1 Peter 3:1, it says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by conversation of the wives. Colossians 3:18, it says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as fit in the Lord. Titus 2:5 says, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of the home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God not blasphemed. There, God has a certain order he wants things in, right? And man has been given the head of the household. Okay? He has been given the head. Does that mean that we can do whatever we want to? No, because he's going to deal with that later on. But women, that's a hard thing to be. It says, submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord, just like you did unto Jesus. Hard thing. We've already been told to submit to each other. Now wives are being told to submit to the husband as unto the Lord. But don't worry. Man, here we come. Here comes the baseball bat on the other side of that one. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and himself a Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Everything. Women, everything means everything. Does that mean you don't get a say? Let me tell you something. Every husband knows that's worth his salt, that's been married for any length of time, knows that if you don't listen to your wife, you're not going to have a good home time. Okay? We listen to our wives, but guess what? Whenever the main decisions come down, God's going to judge me for that decision that's made in my household. If I have a true Christian, it's my decision. Now, does that mean that I should just go willy-nilly and do what I want to do? That wouldn't be smart. My wife has information that maybe she needs to change the way I think about this sort of thing. So I think that goes back to submitting to one another, right? I've already been told to submit to one another. So in this relationship that you develop with your wife, it comes to a point where somebody has to make a decision. God's given the man that particular position. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't listen to our wives. So, man, don't get out there thinking that you're all this and that. You have issues too. Now, here we go. Husbands. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husband loves your wife as Christ and gave himself for it. In other words, what kind of love am I supposed to have for my wife? I should be willing to die for her, because that's what Christ did for us. Well, what a bar to set. I get to make all the decisions, but now I got to love you in a way of this agape love that forces me to have to die for you. Oh, if we had husbands. Why do we have so much? Because our husbands don't know how to lead. Our wives don't know how to submit. Husband, we don't know what the call is to love our wives as Christ. Christ loved us when yet we were by yet we were still sinners, died on the cross. The whole world unworthy for the price paid. That's the love that we should be showing to our wives. Hard thing to do. And I've been married, next year will be 40 years. And I still fail. Maybe hopefully less than I did when I was younger. I've grown a little bit better. But I still fail. Because I'm imperfect. But that's what we're supposed to do. Husband loves your wife, and as Christ also loved the church and gave himself, that's the kind of love you have. I would rather be submitted. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse it for the washing of the water by the word, that he might present himself. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word, so he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That's what Christ did when he died for the church. He died for the church. He died for us. So that Christ could sanctify the church, okay, the believers, right? Because the believers are the church. So Christ could sanctify the church, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of his word, so he might present the church to himself in splendor, so that we might be a splendor in Christ's eyes. Without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might holy and without blemish. That's what we're so supposed to do for our wives, gentlemen. We should be doing everything so that we could present her holy and without blemish. And we're failing every, and we fail every day. But that's what we should be doing. Hopefully, as we learn more and we understand more, we treat her with the reverence that we're supposed to be. Because guess what? We will, that is something that we will. The reason why he gave us the domineer, that's the reason why she's supposed to submit to us, because we're supposed to be the ones doing that for her. See what a high bar that sets? It says, in the same way, so a man ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. So a man should love his wife as he loves himself. Christ loved the world so much that he was willing to give his own body up for the world, even though the world was showing him no love back. So if you think you're in a bad position, man, understand that you're not near in the position that Christ was in, were you? But we're called to do that. He says, so in the same way husbands should love their wives, their own bodies, he who loves his wife loves himself. It says, no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. Who here hates themselves to the point that they want to suffer to a point? Now, so I'm going to, you know, I'm going to make sure I take care of myself. Okay? When I need, I eat. When I drink, I will find something. Take care of myself. I set myself as number one, always. It's a hard thing not to do. We should. Who here doesn't think of themselves above everything? It's our humanity. But men are not called to do that. Men are called love their wives as themselves, because guess what? We human nature to take care of yourself and to think of. Nobody sticks their hand into a fire because they know they're going to get burnt. Has anybody ever had to give themselves a shot? Years ago, I'd take testosterone. I know. I wasn't juicing. It doctor gave it to me because I had low T. But anyway, enough of that. To give yourself a shot of testosterone, you have to use an inch and a long, half long needle. And it has to be buried all the way in. So the base place, you only get one in the buttocks. I usually gave it to myself in my leg. I have a very leg. But you know how hard it is to take a needle, push it an inch and a half into your flesh. Your body automatically says, even though you say, I've got to do this and it's going to be good for me, your body's like, you ain't sticking that in me. And then you prick and you feel it going against you. You have to force. Your mind has got to force you to push that needle into yourself. I'm not going to be out there self-destruct myself. I'm going to take care of number one. I'm number one. I'm going to take care of myself. That's human nature. So the person doesn't hate himself, but he nourishes and cherishes his body just as Christ does the church and just as we should do our wives, right? We should love and cherish those wives. We should nourish our wives just as Christ does the church. That's our job. Now, that decision making back there doesn't look too good for us, does it? Hey, not only we got to make the decisions, got to be called to the carpet for it, large decisions later on. Now I've got to take care of this woman just like she's part of me. And the Bible says that when you're supposed to leave your mother and your father and cleave to your wife, and become one flesh. So when God looks at you. Why is this? Because we are members of His body. We are all members of the body of Christ. So in ESV it says we are members of His body. And in King James it says we are members of His body, His flesh, and His bones. His flesh and His bones. It's like, gets down to the nitty gritty of it. You're talking about flesh and bones. You're talking about the intimate part of somebody. With Christ. It says, for this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall join to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So, how many times have we seen people, mother and fathers, get involved too much in what's going on? Sons or daughters. No, the best thing I did whenever I got married was move away to, I was 19 and I lived in the Marine Corps. I left. I did not live with my mother-in-law, my father-in-law. I did not live with my mother or my father. And there was growing that had to take place there. Am I going in and out again? There were growing that had to take place there. And there was hard times. Hard times. That's for youngsters. I'm sure time that two people to know each other get tough. Because what? I like what I want. When I like what I like when I want to do it, right? When you become flesh, now I need to look out for my wife. She needs to look out for me. Because if we don't look out for each other and we don't grow together as one, then we're not going to have a very good relationship. It's going to be turbulent, even if you do stay together, right? That's the problem we have with divorce nowadays. Everybody's out for their own gain. They want to do what they want to do when they want to do, and they don't want to submit to anybody. Listen to the stuff on television. It's crazy what people believe. It says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ, church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverences her husband. So, let's put this in modern English. The mystery is profound. Profound mystery, I'm telling you about it. And I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. He's saying, I'm giving you a mystery, and I'm showing you how Christ, I'm kind of giving an analogy of Christ and the church and everything, what he's talking about here. How a man should live with his wife and how a woman should live with her. However, that each one of you love his wife as himself. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. That's something that I hit on a lot. Women, y'all crave love. Tell you a secret. Us men have respect. Y'all's form of love to us would be. We want respect in everything we do. We want respect in when we work. I'd much rather say to me, yeah, Terry knows what he's doing. He's good. He's up on his job. He knows exactly what he's doing. It's respect. God knew it. It says in here, and man, keep understanding, your wife doesn't want respect. She wants your love, your undying love, the kind of love that Christ showed for the church. That's what she wants. And do that, I think that we would see a lot less conflict with each other. Follow what God would have us do. You know, He gave us a book. This book's 2,000 years old and still relevant today. Ain't that amazing? So, pray. Close this.